Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Summer has arrived. Schools are back, so summer has arrived.
We have two readings this morning. Our first reading is from
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1 to 8, and then Matthew chapter 5, from verse 1 to 12. And today we're looking at the concept of perspective in life. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. There is a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, for killing and healing, destroying and building, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing, for throwing stones and gathering stones, embracing and parting. There is a time for finding and losing, keeping and giving, for tearing and sowing, listening and speaking. There is also a time for love and hate, for war and peace. And then Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the side of a mountain and sat down. Jesus' disciples gathered around him, and he taught them. God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. God blesses those people who are humble. The earth will belong to them. God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. God blesses those people who are merciful. They will be treated with mercy. God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. They will see him. God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people insult you, mistreat you, and tell all kinds of lies about you because of me. Be happy and excited. You will have a great reward in heaven. People did these same things to the prophets who lived long ago. Amen. May God bless to us his word. There are seasons to life. And when you think about it, that's something that is realistically normal for all of us, the seasons of life, as indeed we have the seasons themselves. Spring is followed by summer, is followed by autumn, and is followed by winter, which is followed by spring. And there are similar seasons in our own lives too. It is impossible for any of us to pass through life without passing through the seasons of life. There are times in our lives where there is great joy and anticipation. There are times in our lives when we grow as people and mature, and when we see life from a very positive perspective. But then there are times in our lives when things come crashing down around us, when we face loss. It may be personal loss, it may be personal health, it may be financial loss, it may be any kind of physical loss that we have to face, or emotional loss we have to face, or the loss of someone very close to us that we love. And that's inevitably part of life. And it's a part of life where we grow and mature in our understanding of life and indeed of others, even although it is painful for us. And then there is the end of life for us. But it's not the end of life in the sense in which life ceases altogether. It is the end with a new beginning in prospect. And so the writer to the Ecclesiastes is right that life has its seasons, and we have to be prepared to accept everything that life gives to us. It's a package. And as a package, it comes from God to us as we live our lives out in this world. We can choose to accept it and receive it and to be sensible. You know, in some respects, it is completely illogical for us to say, I never thought this would happen to me, or I never thought I would go through this. That's part of what life is about, those moments where we think, I never thought this would happen to me. And so we have to embrace life in its positives and in its negatives. We have to accept life in that sense. Otherwise, we will end up truly out of perspective. But within life itself, there is a way of looking at life through the eyes of Christ that helps us to gain proper perspective, irrespective of what happens to us. And I want us just to go to what is known as the Beatitudes, where Jesus talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek, etc. And I want us, instead of just looking at the words and the concepts and the ideas, to look at examples of what Jesus is talking about in other people and try to grasp this concept of the kingdom of God as Jesus sees it. Jesus wants us to belong to a kingdom that has got different values, a different way of looking at life, a different perspective altogether on life, a healthier perspective on life, one that will outlast the kingdom of this world, one that will outlast the thinking and the principles and the ways of this world in which we live. In other words, principles that are forever principles as far as God is concerned. So where does he begin? He begins with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now I want you to see, he does not say blessed are the poor, but blessed are the poor in spirit. And I've taken as an illustration of this a story that Jesus told, where a Pharisee and a tax collector come into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stands in the temple and he almost says this, God, you are so lucky to have me. I am so good. I always do what is right. He's a man who's full of his own righteousness and his own self-importance. And then the temple with him is the tax collector, who's part of a despised group of people, who's a cheat and a liar and thief. And he stands behind the Pharisee and says, God, he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The poor in spirit. Here is a man who saw his poverty of spirit. He saw himself before God as someone who was lost and without hope. He didn't see himself with the grand sense that the Pharisee saw himself. He saw himself the very opposite. And he saw how deeply he needed God. And Jesus said, blessed is that man. That man is truly blessed because he sees his need of God. Do you see the illustration and how much sense it makes? And the reason it makes sense is because the Pharisee had not understood himself. The Pharisee saw himself wrongly. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We stay with the same illustration. Blessed are those who mourn. What was the tax collector doing? He was mourning over his past life. He was regretting his past life. He was coming to God and he was saying sorry. He was coming to God with a repentant heart. He was coming to God in a way in which he was grieving over himself and over his sins and over the way he had treated people and over the way that his life had been. Jesus says, that man is blessed. That person is blessed who comes like that to me. That's not a person that's in a bad state or condition. That's a person that's in a good state and condition. They may not feel very good about themselves, but they're feeling realistically about themselves. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, comforted by the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the love of God. Blessed are the meek. The world that we live in has no place for meek or humble people. It's the go-getters that get it. It's the people who are out there for number one and for themselves and who want to achieve and who put themselves before anyone else and who are ambitious. These are the people who really make it in life. They've got the right connections, the right school, the right education. They've got the right everything. And these are the people who will make it to the top in terms of business. And these are the people who will make it to the top politically. These are the ambitious ones. The ones who've been told by their parents, you're a great person, go for it. But there's a picture of the creator of the universe washing the feet of one of his disciples. There is Jesus, our Lord and Master, the Son of God, our God, the one that we worship and follow, washing the feet of his disciple. There is real humility, true meekness. There is someone who knew it all and had it all and chose not to lord it over anyone, but said, this is how it must be with you as it is with me. As he comes and he takes the feet of his disciples and he washes them as a servant would wash the feet of anyone who came into a house. Jesus did that. And so the kingdom of God is a place not for those who think they're it, and not for those who are aspiring to lord it over others, and not for those who want to get on and to be the most successful and to be the ones who stand out in society, but for those who will serve others. For those who will not see themselves as the most important in society, but will see that their place in society is to care for others and to serve others and to do good for others and to be humble in their estimation of themselves, as Jesus was. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble. There's Mother Teresa. People are hungry for God. Do you see that? Quite often we look but do not see. We are all passing through this world. We need to open our eyes and to see. Blessed are those who are hungry for God. Mother Teresa was someone who was hungry for God. And how did she fulfill that hunger? By working with the poor in India, by working with the poorest, by caring for their needs, by showing compassion and the love of God, by giving our whole life to that ministry. And those who are truly hungry for God are not those who somehow stand out as wonderful saints, but actually those who immerse themselves in this world and do good to others in the name of God. In other words, to love God means to go out and to make a difference by loving others, and especially those who need that love the most. Who need that love the most. The most broken people in the world are those perhaps who hunger most for reality, for forgiveness, for being set free. And we have the bread of life in our hands, Christ himself. We have the love of God in our hands, Christ himself. We have what can satisfy the deepest needs and desires of any human heart. It's within our grasp to make that difference. Blessed are those who are hungry for God. What is your greatest hunger? Is it for significance? Is it for social advantage? Is it for money? Or is it to know God better? Which is where Paul was when he talked about his longing and desire is to know Christ better. And as we know Christ better, we will be better in our living with other people. Blessed are the merciful. Here's another story of Jesus. There's the story of Jesus when a whole group of men, arrogant, angry, self-righteous men, brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Notice they didn't bring the man with them, just the woman who'd been caught in adultery. But they're wanting to put Jesus in a bad place. They're wanting to trap this good man. And Jesus is silent for a moment as they just rush with their words and actions of condemnation. And Jesus turns round to the men and says, "Let those of you who are without sin cast the first stone." And we're told that they left one by one, the oldest first, until there was none of them there except Jesus and the woman. "Is there anyone there to condemn you? Is there anyone left to condemn you?" Jesus says. "No," says the woman. "Neither do I," says Jesus. And there is the mercy of God and the heart of God being revealed through Jesus Christ. Something that's so hard to do, because all of us condemn at some place or another. All of us are unmerciful in some way or another. And yet, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, because they will find mercy. They will know mercy. And then, blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they will see God. And there's another story that's well kent by us all. There's the story of the father greeting the lost son when he comes back, having wasted everything. But it's not the story of the lost son that in Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the lost sons. Because this man had two sons. One who took everything he had and went away and wasted it. One who remained at home with the father and never understood him. And yet, the wonderful thing about this father is the love that he possessed for both his sons. Despite one being a waster and despite one never understanding his true heart, he loved them both. And he loved them passionately. And there we see his arms wrapped round the boy who went away and wasted it all. And we hear later on in the story, he tries to plead with the other son to understand his heart of love. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Many of us ask the question, how can I see God? I want to see God and know God better. And the answer to that is, by becoming like him, you will see him. By understanding his heart, you will understand him and grow close to him and know him better. By being a forgiving and a merciful and a caring and an all-embracing person, you will see God. And you will see it in your own actions and in the people whose lives you will embrace. And so perspective has two elements to it. It has the beginning element, where we see the seasons of life and how we have to live through those seasons. But integrated into that is the perspective of the kingdom of God's, into which we live and belong as people, and where living in a way that is countercultural, we truly live to understand, please, and know God. And if ever there was a time for the Christian church in our own country to be countercultural, it is today. I close with this. I've been reading a wee book through Next Door over the last week about Muslims in different parts of the world becoming Christians. I didn't know, for instance, in Chechnya, there are only 10 Christians in the whole of Chechnya. I didn't know in China, amongst the 12 million Muslim Hui people, there are only 14 Christians there. And in these stories that I was reading, in every case, there was evidence of people going against their culture in order to make a statement for Christ. And people might say to us, well, you know, we don't have that same going against our culture. But we do. We live in an increasingly secular culture where God is calling us, as these Muslim folks who became Christians, God called them to stand and make a statement by the way we live that we are following Christ and his kingdom and not the stream of our secular culture. We are going to be countercultural. simply by living as Christ called us to be in the Beatitudes as he began his sermon in the Mount.
Take the word of Christ into your hearts. Live the life of Christ in your lives. Seek the will of Christ in all things. And may the grace and the mercy and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ be with and remain with each one of us, both now and forevermore.